Welcome to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
Go ahead and find your place if you would. I know it takes a little bit of time to wind down from talking. In fact, I'm going to help you. How many of you are talkers in here? Let's see. How many of you are talkers in here? All right. How many of you are not talkers in here? Let's see your hands. All right. Well, I'm going to help the talkers today. It's going to be a good help to you. Let me ask you a question. How many of you want to be happy? How many want to be happy? All right, the rest of you sad sacks, I tell you, better to be happy than sad. And we have been studying what we call the Beatitudes, and Beatitudes mean blissful, and the word blessed, we taught you, means what? Well, the first guy in the first row here knows what it means. Blessed means what? Let me ask one more time. Blessed means what? It means happy, and the Lord begins his first recorded full sermon on how to be happy. And he begins by telling us that happy are those that realize that you're absolutely bankrupt before God. And blessed are the poor. And then he tells us blessed are those that mourn. Wasn't that a great message last week? I know I preached it, but wasn't that a great message last week? And I have never really studied through the Beatitudes before. And, it, you know, there's after all these years of studying, it's brand new stuff to me again. And last week we talked about blessed are those that mourn, that grieve over their sin, that literally that's where joy comes after the sorrow. Today we're going to go, and it won't be, it's an interesting topic because today we're going to talk about meek. Everybody say meek, would you? And go ahead and put Matthew 5 up. Let's start the first one. Matthew 5:5. The next beatitude today is blessed are the what? For they shall do what? Now, what a strange promise. That's one of those, I call them bump road. You know, there's some scriptures like bumps. You know, we go through a parking lot. You just go over it and keep going. And you say the meek shall inherit the earth. And we'll talk about that this morning a little bit, but let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I pray that you give us understanding. I pray that you'll open our eyes. I pray that we would be changed by the presence and the power of the Spirit of God. Father, I thank you beyond just a club, a Rotary Club, a Lions Club, Lord, that this is not just a place to learn info, but Father, a place to receive truth. And the truth would set us free and change us. How we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. Look at somebody and say, are you meek? Just ask somebody today, are you meek? All right, you can be seated today. All right, let's go because I want to cover a lot in a short time. Today's beatitude is interesting to me for a number of reasons. And one of them is this. In Matthew 13, a few chapters later, Jesus says this. It says, then said to them, therefore every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like to a man that is a householder, which brings forth out of his treasure things new and things old. He says a scribe, which was the teachers of the law in that day, the interpreters of the law, said, here's what they're like. They're like a householder who brings out things new and things. How many of you in your house, you've got new things and you got old things? Come on. How many of you got some old flippers in your house? How many's got old flippers in your house that are comfortable to wear? I love them. My wife keeps throwing stuff away. I got a pair of tennis shoes that looks through. They've been through three world wars. I mean, but they're so comfortable, you don't want to get rid of them. And the teachers and those that Jesus says a scribe. And he said, a scribe that's instructed in the kingdom of God is this way. He brings out of the word, and the analogies, he brings out of his teaching things old and things new. And the amazing thing is, some of the Beatitudes you read never were said before. Jesus said them. Other of the Beatitudes, which is the one this morning, it's an old thing. He brings it and he re-says something that is an old thing. That when he said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, was not anything new to the Jews of that day that was listening to him. In fact, look at it. Psalms 30, throughout the Old Testament, and I'll just show you one. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yes, you shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth. Psalms 37. So he is a scribe that's bringing out of his treasure of knowledge both things old and things new. And this beatitude that we're going to study this morning was literally something that was old. It was known to Jew. When he said that, it was not some new concept that they had heard. Another reason this is interesting today is because of the definition of the words, definition of the word meek. Now, let me ask a question. We don't use the word meek very often in our society. In fact, let me just see and be honest with me, thinking that this may stretch some of you. How many of you use the word meek in your vocabulary this week? Raise your hand. How many of you use the word meek in your vocabulary? I had a dermatologist named Dr. Meek, didn't we? But that doesn't count. How many of you, did anybody in this place use, in your you used it? Anybody else had one person use the word meek this week? Got two people. Used it three times? How many? Anybody else? Two people in the whole congregation today used the word meek? Was that it? Most of you can't remember what you said yesterday, let alone the whole week. I understand that. And the reason is the word meek carries with it kind of a weak connotation in our society today. When we think of someone who is meek, normally we think of someone who is mild-mannered, right? Soft-spoken, maybe even a weak person or a person who is easily a pushover. But the reason I want to study this today, because Jesus said, happy are, and he didn't say happy are those that are weak and mild-mannered and soft-spoken. That's the reason I want to study this today, because the word meek, biblical definition of the word meek, is the absolute opposite of what we consider and think about the word meek is in our society today. This week I kind of looked around for, you know, the word meek. I didn't see it in the College World Series. I mean, watching the College World Series. I didn't see it in the Lakers, you know, Boston game. I mean, you know, there's no meekness going on there. You won't find it in the WWF. Come on, somebody help me here. That's the World Wrestling Federation. Most of you don't know what that is. Or the act, that's a pre-Hollywood Actors Guild where they go there. And so you won't see, because meekness, let me define meekness, and then I think it'll help you. Let me ask you three questions today, and let's start out with number one. What is meekness? Since Jesus says, happy are those that are meek, the meek are happy, and there's a promise of inheriting the earth for those that are meek, and that is happening. As I told you, the Beatitudes are not wishful thinking on the behalf of Jesus. The Beatitudes are a divine pronouncement of truth. The meek shall inherit the earth. Not maybe, not think about it, hopefully they will. The meek shall inherit the earth. So what is meekness? Let's begin. First, let me tell you what it is not. It's not weakness. Meekness has nothing to do with weakness. In fact, the Greek definition of meekness is the exact opposite of that. And here's the definition of meekness. Meekness means literally strength under control. Not a person. In the Greek definition, it has the word strength in it, so that someone that is meek is not someone without strength and they're weak. It's literally someone who is strong but under control. Meekness is literally that, is strength under control. Someone who has power, someone who is strong, strength under control. It comes from the Greek culture that describes a wild animal that has been tamed or completely submissive and obedient to its master. It's like a horse. a horse that has been broken. It's not a weakling. It's not, has no power. It's not some, but literally a horse is strong, it's powerful, but it's been broken. It is strength under control. The word meekness, I understand we don't like that word tame sometimes, but because Jesus was the meekest man that ever lived upon the face of the earth. Strong he was, but under control more than any man ever on the face. He said, which one of you convicts me of sin? There was never one time he disobeyed the Father. There was not one time in his entire life that he was out of control. He said, I could call for 10,000 angels if I wanted. He had power beyond belief. Stand on the bow of a boat and command the wind and the rain to stop, and the storm calmed itself to where the disciples around him said, what manner of man is this? And yet not one time out of control. He was strength. Everybody say strength. Under control. Meekness has nothing to do with weakness. It has to do with strength, but it has to do with strength that is completely under control. Meekness refers to when we can be totally controlled by the Holy Spirit, and I'll show you that in just a minute. The opposite of meekness is when our strength is out of control. Let me show you some examples. Throughout the Bible, there were men that learned to be meek. Nobody is born that way. I'll show you that in a moment. But look at Joseph. Let's use Joseph as an example. Number one, this is an example. It says, then Joseph could not refrain himself. Now, you remember the story. As a little boy, he's cocky. He has dreams. He tells them. He has a coat of many colors. I told you that. I wore a coat one time and told you how he infuriated his brothers. And he tells them, you're all going to bow down to me. And the guy that's saying it to you is wearing this coat of many colors flashing around. And they finally had enough of it, sell him off, throw him in a pit, sell him off, and he's in prison throughout Egypt for many, many years. Things turn around, God elevates him, he becomes second in command to Pharaoh. He's the second most powerful person on the face of the earth. And before him comes those 10 or so brothers that had done him dirty. Payday someday, come on somebody. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said to his brothers, I'm Joseph. He was dressed as a Pharaoh. They didn't recognize him. Does my father yet live? As his brothers could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I'm Joseph, your brothers, whom you sold into Egypt. Just reminding them. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me here, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be reaping or harvest. Ripening, whatever it is. And God sent me before you to preserve you and posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Quicker, come on. So now it was not you that sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. And what he does is this. This is strength under control. Joseph had learned to be a meek man. Because here he was with the authority that he had the ability to preach. He could have said, hey, let me tell you, this is Joseph, been in prison a long time because of your turn. But you know what he says? He says, I see God in all of this. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I see God's hand in all. He sent me down here to be a savior. And he learned to be meek. Let me tell you, the meek shall inherit the earth. We're getting that. But those that know how to rule under control, those that know when God trusts power to somebody that has the ability to be under control. They're not out of control. God will give you, God will place you, God will raise you up. Moses was another one. In Moses, Numbers 12 and verse 3 says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were on the face." How many know who wrote the book of Numbers? Anybody know? How many know you got to be pretty humble to tell yourself that you were the meekest man on the face of the earth? And since it's Bible, he couldn't be lying. It was a scripture, so he wrote it out. But he said Moses was very meek above all the men which were on the face of the earth. Now, let me remind you, Moses was not always meek. One time when he was 40 years old, he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew man. The Bible says he went and he didn't just beat up the Egyptian. The Bible says he beat him until he killed him. How many know that's not too meek? That's when he was in Pharaoh's house. He had authority, and God's watching all of this. Let me tell you something, how this works. God's watching Moses, and guess what God says? "I need a little bit of more work there. Come on, somebody. Put you in the desert for another 40 years. Let you tend sheep, and let's see how that works on you." And he worked meekness into his life, where he became strength under control. 40 years old, he was not strength under control. He beats an Egyptian to death and kills him. And so it took a little while, and God began to... Another one is David. Tremendous warrior. Kill a lion and kill a lion and a bear. I mean, he kills them with his bare hands. He's a warrior. In fact, one time, they come to him, and he's wanting to marry the king's daughter. And the king says, "Bring me 100 foreskins of Philistines." David goes out and gets 200. You understand what that means? David killed 200 men. He was a warrior. Now watch this. Go to the next scripture. When King David came to Baram, behold, now David has run out of Jerusalem. He's been king for many years. His son Absalom revolts, and David flees the kingdom. And watch this. Behold, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. And he came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and all the servants of the king David and all the people and all the, everybody say, mighty men. All the on his, David's left and right is all of David's mighty men on his right hand. Now get the picture. Here's David, a man that had been a warrior, killed lions and bears, killed Goliath, had killed 200 Philistines himself. He's walking down the road, and he's walking with these two. Can you go to the next set of scriptures, and then let me come back. Can you go to 2 Samuel 23? Let me show you who these mighty men were. Here's the mighty men that was on his left and on his right. Watch this. "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tectomite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800. And slew them at one time." Can I get a better amen in here this morning? One of the guys on his left slew 800 men at one time with a spear. Look at the other one. "After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo." Don't make fun of him. "The Ahite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away." Look at verse 10. "He arose, smote the Philistines until the hand was weary, and his hand stuck to the sword. And the Lord worked a great victory that day, and the people returned after him on the spoil." Next one. "And after him was Shema, the son of Aji, the Harite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, and there was a piece of ground full of lentils or peas, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the middle of the ground, defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord worked a great victory." Now go back to my other scripture. That's the guys that's walking out with David, the killer of lions and bears and Goliath and 200 Philistines himself on his left and right. There's one guy that killed 800 of them, and then, I mean, on and on, all right? So David came out. Behold, there came out a man of him whose name was Shimei. Go to verse 6. "And when David," go to verse 6, go ahead, and he cast stones at David. And all the servants of the king and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, "Come out, you bloody man, you man of Belial. The Lord has returned on you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead you reign, and the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. And behold, you are taken in your mischief, because you're a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king? Let me go over and just take my finger and flip him, and I'll kill him right off. Come on, somebody. And the king said, what have I to do with you, sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, curse David. Who shall say then, why have you done so? And David said to Abishai and all of his servants, behold, my son, which came out of my bowels, seeks my life. How much more may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord has bidden him. And look what he says here. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing. You know what he was? David was a man that had strength under control. You know why? Because he saw God in everything going on. He could have said with one other thing, you know, hey, fella, you're the one with the spear that killed the 800. Go over there and just jab him through. He didn't do that. He was a ruler that ruled in meekness. And he was not weak. He was strength under control. Say it again. Say it with me. Say strength under control. Has nothing to do with meekness. Has everything to do with being under control. You know, the connotation of the word meekness is tremendous strength, yet under control. One time, there was some soldiers were rebuilding an embankment, and a corporal was sitting there giving barking out orders, as a corporal would do sometimes. And suddenly, a guy rode up in civilian clothes and asked, what are you doing? And he said, we're having to rebuild this embankment. And he asked the corporal, why don't you help him? He said, I'm a corporal. And the guy said, I understand. Got off his horse and helped for over 2 hours, helped these soldiers rebuild this embankment. And when he was finished, he turned around, looked at the corporal and says, I'm General George Washington. Next time you need help, call me. Come on, somebody. It's called strength under, say it with me, say strength under control. Let me talk to the bosses in here a minute. You're a boss. I'm not only a pastor, I'm a boss. And I have a lot of employees under me. And one of the keys I've learned about being a boss, go ahead and go to the next scripture. Watch this. Let me just talk to you a little bit. It says, go to now, you rich men. Now, God has nothing wrong with money. Come on, somebody. I've had nothing, and now I'm better off. Come on, better off is better. Come on, somebody. Everybody say amen. I just want to say that. Go to now, you rich men. Weep and howl, for your miseries shall come on you. Now notice, let me tell you why he's doing it. Your riches are corrupted. Nothing wrong with them. Let me show you why they're corrupted. And your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is corroded, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you. You shall eat your flesh as it were fire, and shall eat your flesh. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. Here's why they're against him. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud. Here's why he's telling them. What you got is corrupt, because what you got belongs to somebody else. You are keeping the money back by fraud. You got strength. You got power. But you're misusing it. You're not under control. You're not ruling in meekness. Watch what it says. You have, which is kept back by fraud, cries, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton, and you have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he does not resist you. Go to the next scripture. Masters, give to your servants that which is just and equal. Here's the reason why. Knowing that in heaven, you too have a master. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. As to the merciful, he shows himself merciful. All right, go to the next scripture. Let me give you one for fathers. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Because you have authority. You have power. You can do what you want to do. You're the parent. And I don't know about you, but we've been in places where somebody had to say something to that parent. Come on, somebody. And because we have the authority, but if we're not ruling and being parents in meekness, has nothing to do with weakness. It has to do with strength under control. How many know there's sometimes you just got to get away from it? And one of the keys is you have fathers, provoke not your children, because you have the authority, you have the power. Look what Ephesians says. Go to the next one. And you masters, do the same thing to them, forbearing threatening. Everybody say forbearing threatening. You don't do that, I'm going to fire you. You don't get them, I'm going to get rid of you. You don't do this, I'm going to do this to you. He said forbear threatening. If you're a boss and you always lashing out and threatening them, you're not strength under control. You're out of control. All right? Forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. All the bosses say amen this morning, would you? My first day at Victory. Let me tell you my first day on staff here. I gave my 2-week notice. I quit my job. And the pastor here before me, I came over and I reported for my first day at Victory. Our office was in the front building. There was only 2 other people on staff, was a secretary and a custodian. We walk in the front building and we walk in, and I didn't have an office, and we're going to walk in. And he walks by the secretary's desk and he tells her, clean up your desk, please. Says it crisp and like it. So we walk in his office. An hour or so later, we walk out of his office. She had not touched her desk. I'll never forget it in my life. He put his hand just like this on the side of her desk and raked her entire desk off in the floor. And we walked out the door. I'm thinking, I wonder if they take me back where I came from. And, I mean, I'll never forget that as long as I live. I mean, he just raked the entire desk off into the floor. And he acted like he'd done nothing. And then he turned to her, and here's what he said. He said, we're about to go. We had a taping room. He said, we're going back here. We're going to retape a message that I did, and I don't want to be disturbed. We had these phones that you could call. This is predates cell phones and all this. We had these intercom phones from one building to the next. We're back here in about 30. I'm taping his message. He's preaching this message. About 30 minutes into his message, meep, meep, meep. I'll never forget this. He said, come with me. He stopped. We walked up there. He fired her. I thought, I'm really going back to where I came from now. I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to tell you, everybody say strength under control. There's something, this, you know what, when I told you the story of George Washington, there's something beautiful about a scenario like that. Somebody that could, but they're under control. Secondly is, there's something repulsive when somebody that has power, but they're out of control. Everybody say amen. You understand? All right, let me give you question number 2. What produces meekness? Go ahead, come on. What produces meekness? 2 things that do not. Let me tell you 2 things that do not produce meekness. Number 1, being born does not produce meekness. Oh, let me say it another way. How many know your kids were not born with meekness? Come on, somebody. They were not born with strength under control. To help them, you know, they weren't born with strength. It's a natural born quality so it's not a natural born quality of human. Number 2 is, it's not a personality trait. Now, here's where you need to get this. Meekness has nothing to do with personality traits. Meekness, just because a person is a quiet person, does not mean they are. How many met some mean, quiet people? Come on, somebody. Meekness has nothing to do with your personality. That's not biblical. Maybe they're quiet personality. Maybe they don't talk as much. And we say, well, they're kind of meek. That has nothing to do with it. Let me give you Galatians 5. Let me show you and understand how meekness is produced. But the fruit of the Spirit, everybody say fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And see the word gentleness? That's the word meekness in the Greek. The meekness comes from the Holy Spirit. Meekness is a fruit or a produce or a product of the Holy Spirit. Meekness is not something, I'm going to be a good boss, I'm going to be a good boss, I'm going to be a good boss today. I'm not going to shout at them, I'm not going to threaten them, I'm going to be a meek boss. You know how long that happens? That happens just until your blood pressure rises. And then you blow up and you become what you are. Because one of the things we told you is the be attitudes, not the do attitudes. Come on, somebody help me out here. It is the be meek, not do meekness. It's becoming meek. Has nothing to do with weakness, has everything to do with strength. But it's a fruit. And the Greek word for meekness occurs many times throughout the New Testament. But because of our culture, just like there was only a couple of you that used the word meek this week, the translators translated it in the newer translations into the word gentle or gentleness, which is, we use the term gentle giant. And a gentle giant, when I say that word, has nothing to do with somebody that's weak. It has somebody that has great strength, but they're under control. I had a big guy in my fourth grade class called Pukey. And Pukey was big. I mean, he was big. And he had failed a lot of times. And he was my best buddy. Come on, somebody. And I was protected by Pukey. Whenever things got rough, I called on Pukey. I don't know if he'd ever beat anybody up or not. He was as gentle as could be. But just his size in the fourth grade intimidated everybody. But meekness in the Greek, as I told you, we put up those two definitions. Meek in the Greek is parous, which means gentle, or meekness, parustes, which means gentleness. And it has to do with being strong but under control. And here's the reason I want to show you this. In Matthew 11, Jesus, the only time I remember, Jesus describes himself. You know, we see pictures of Jesus and they paint him, but nobody's ever had a picture. There was no cameras back then. Nobody took a portrait of him and we kept it posterity. We don't know what he looked like. We have an idea. One time he said, before Abraham was, I am. And they said, you're not even 50 years old. Well, he was only 30. I mean, how many don't like that when they say, guess how old I am? You're 30 years old. And they said, 50. How many of you don't like that? You understand what I mean? They said, you're not even 50 years old yet. But one of the keys, we don't know what he looked like, but he did describe himself one time. And here's what he said about himself. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And notice how he describes himself, verse 20. Take my yoke on you and learn of me, for I am, what's he describe himself? I am, everybody say it with me, I am what? He self-describes himself, never spoke a lot. He says, I am meek. Now notice, he didn't say, I'm weak. I'm just one of those kind of real quiet weaklings. He's saying, I am strong, but strength under control. I am meek and lowly in heart. Lowly in heart. And you shall find, everybody say, rest. When you come to him, one of the first things you learn about Jesus is how to be meek. Because when you come, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor. And you know what that word is, where we get our English word vacation. All of you that labor and are weary and you want rest, the word rest is where we get our word vacation. How many would like a vacation? Come on right now. How many would like to go somewhere north where it's not as hot right now? And he says, how many of you are laboring and toiling? And he says, come unto me, learn of me. What are we going to learn about you? Learn how to be meek. Come on, somebody. First thing he says, learn how to be strength under control. Come unto me and learn. You want some rest? Let me teach you how to be strength under control. Once you become like me, become strength under control, and you will find rest for your souls, for I am meek. In fact, look at 1 Peter 3. Look what he says here. who's adorning. Now, here's what's going to help all of you loud people. Come on, all you that are talkers and all this. Because we've misused this scripture so many times, has nothing to do with your person. Meekness has nothing to do with your personality. Everybody say amen this morning, would you? Amen. Who's adorning, let it not be the outward adorning, a plaiting of the hair. And literally in the Greek it says not only. Come on, everybody say not only. I think you ought to fix your hair in the morning. Come on, somebody. I don't think you ought to look like you've been blown out of a cannon and go anywhere. And of the wearing of gold and the putting. Everybody say, I told you last week or week before, I am for makeup. Come on, everybody say amen. I am for makeup. Putting out. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, which is not corrupt, which heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a, everybody say with me, a what?
Meek.
A meek and quiet. Now, the next word, let me ask you, a meek and quiet, does it say the word soul, which is your mind, your will, your emotions, or does it say spirit? Which one does it say? So it has nothing to do with your personality. That's your soul, your mind, your will, your emotion. Never once did it command a woman to be, now all you women keep real quiet. All you women don't talk and you'll be real godly if you'll just be quiet. Nothing wrong with that if that's your personality. But we've come back and says, yeah, a person can't be holy because they're so, I mean, they just rah, 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 rah. Has nothing to do with that. Come on, all the loud people say amen. Come on, help me here now. Let it be the hidden man of the heart when that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which can I say at the same time, that'd be good for all the men to have a meek and quiet spirit. Nothing to do with your personality. We've kind of, you know, we've misused that scripture so long. A meek and quiet spirit. And remember, meekness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the way you get meekness is you submit yourself to the Holy Spirit as Jesus did. He says, I do nothing but what I see and hear my Father do and say. I don't say anything I don't hear him say. I don't do anything I don't hear him do. That's a man under control. That's a man, the Bible says, he giveth him the Spirit without measure. Why did God trust Jesus with the Spirit without measure? You know why? Because he knew he could trust him to be a good ruler because he was a man that was submitted to the Holy. He was strength under control. Why don't you give that little four-year-old of yours a shotgun? Why don't you give your four-year-old grandson a shotgun? Huh? Why don't you give him a shotgun? Huh? Because he's not strength under control. Come on, somebody. And some of you won't give your 15-year-old a shotgun either, really, because you know what? Because they're not strength under control. They've not learned yet. How many of you know, your kid's 30 years old, you still haven't given him a car? Come on, somebody, help me in here. If you allow the Holy Spirit to control your actions, and not only, listen, not only actions, but your reactions many times. Meekness, one connotation in the Greek, it was the bit in a horse's mouth. Now get this. It was a bit in a horse's mouth. In classical Greek, the word meekness came out, a bit that was in a horse's mouth. And what it did was this. It controlled the direction and controlled the power. Whoa! Stop it. It's not that the horse is weak. The horse is under control of the bit in its mouth. The horse is going ahead and got a clue in the world which way, and then it pulls and it's going left because it's under the control. It's strength under control. And so what happens is this. Meekness controls direction. Get this. Direction and power. Watch this. Let me say it another way. It controls strength and direction. The bit where the word meekness is a concept out of it, control the strength, whoa, and the direction. Turn left, you know, turn left, turn right, turn right. And so it did those, and let me use it a different way. Use two different words for strength and for direction. Let's go to the next slide. let's call it power and purpose. Meekness will control the power you have and the purpose of your life. If you don't have meekness in your life, you're going to sputter on both of those two fronts. You know, water that is channeled is stronger than water that's dissipated. Loses its strength, loses its direction, loses its power. But a dam is built to be able to channel the water in one direction, to be able to produce all this power. And meekness, the concept coming from a bit in a horse's mouth, has to do with strength and direction. In our lives, call it purpose and power. Your direction of your life and the strength and the power of your life. And one of the things that happens is the Holy Spirit gives us power and then gives us purpose. When you're under the direction of the Holy Spirit, it's like a bit that has to do with meekness that gives you power, but directed power, under control power, but also then gives you purpose or direction of your life. And one of the reasons of life is people, many of them are just out of control, not only because with power and purpose. And so the Holy Spirit produces this. Now, the last question this morning we're going to end is, what produces meekness? And let me ask you number three. Then what does meekness produce? And let's say that you begin to seek the Lord, you ask him. Let me give it to you in one word answer, and that is meekness. One of the major products of meekness in your life, not only power and direction, but meekness will give you peace. When you learn to walk in meekness, you will envelop yourself with a life of peace. Jesus, in the midst of one storm after another, stood there in perfect peace. When they were screaming and losing their heads, he stood there in perfect peace. Matthew 5, now listen to this. Let me give you a little definition here so you can get this. It says, blessed are the meek. Everybody say that. Say, blessed are the meek. Happy are the meek. And here's the promise. They shall inherit the earth. And as I told you, that was an old concept out of the Old Testament. And what does it mean to inherit the earth? Does it mean we're going to get some property? What does it mean? We'll kick everybody off we don't like in one day? Historically, to the Jewish people, because it was an old something, it was something he pulled out of the Old Testament, something the Jews had said to each other for centuries, something that had been spoken by prophets and scribes from centuries gone by. The meek shall inherit the earth. The psalmist wrote of it and sang of it in their songs. The meek shall inherit the earth. So historically to the Jews, and listen very carefully, it meant that even if they were driven out of the promised land, they were going to come back. They knew that the promised land was given to the Jews. And so they knew they would come back one day. They knew no matter where they were scattered or dispersed, they knew that they would come back because they're going to inherit the earth. And that historically to them was the promised land. In fact, the phrase, the meek shall inherit the earth, as I said, was in the Old Testament many times. And now, let me get this for you because let me describe it. In fact, I want to stretch something right now. I want to something that I saw that I loved, and I'm gonna stretch a little bit. Everybody say stretch. Would you say stretch? Everybody put your hands out sideways, smack your neighbor a few times. Just kind of stretch a little bit, would you? All right, the pastor knows he's stretching a little bit here, so don't get upset with me because I'm going to stretch a little bit in the ending today. There is a spiritual... There's a spiritual truth in this that I see layers of truth in scriptures. And the Bible says, happy are the meek because they're going to inherit the earth. And let me say it this way. The words inherit, go to the next one. The word inherit means to own, to possess. But one of the definitions of the word inherit in the Greek is to have dominion over. So not only does it mean to own it and to possess it, but the Greek word inherent in the word inherit is the meaning to have dominion over. If you own it, you possess it, then you would have dominion over it. But it's in the definition of the Greek language. So let me use that because the meek is going to have dominion over. And then the next word is the word earth. Now, well, back up just a minute. Stay right there a minute. let me just say this. To me, the definition means this. God is going to put in authority people in the years to come, in the age to come. You're never going to have a bad boss again. Come on, everybody, say amen this morning. There's not going to be one bad ruler in the whole spectrum of the universe. Only the meek is going to rule. Come on, somebody. Every ruler from the highest of them to the lowest of them is going to have the characteristic of meekness. Because the meek shall inherit, have dominion over the earth. The day is going to come when the only rulers on the face of the earth is going to be those that are meek. Isn't that great? Only the ones that know how to have their strength. Doesn't mean we're going to have a bunch of weak rulers. We're going to have strong rulers. But strong rulers that have their strength under control. They're going to rule one day. Now, that's the main, I believe, truth in that. But let me give you now a now truth. Let me give you something right now to help you in your spiritual life. The meek, those that have their strength under control, they're happy because they shall have dominion over. And then this last word, go to the next definition, is the word earth. And guess what it means? Dirt. Everybody say dirt. It literally means, it's not the word world where we get it's the word for dirt. It's the physical planet. Happy are the meek because they shall have dominion over dirt. Come on, somebody, say amen this morning. Now, if you go down one of the root words, let me just throw this in. This is where I'm stretching. One of the root words for the word dirt is the word dust. Look at somebody and say, you're a dirtbag. Did you know that? Just say something. Say, you are a dirtbag. You may not have known that, but you're a dirtbag. Why did I say that? Because the Bible says in the very beginning, when God came to this earth, guess what he made man Adam of? He didn't go and find this great foliage and take these pretty leaves off a tree and I think I'll make man out of that. He didn't go and look for, you know, whatever, you know, flint and some pretty nice hard rock, and he didn't do that. And he didn't look, you know, God could have used anything in the universe to make us. Guess what he picked? Everybody say it with me? Yeah. Dust. Literally, it says dust. He went and created him. I'm glad they didn't have Pledge back in that day, because we'd never been created. The angels could have dusted the garden, and that would have been the end of that. He took dust. You know, dust. Dust is just, he took dust, which was the produce of dirt. He took dust, and he made us from dust. The reason we became Adam, which meant, you know, rose-colored, right, was because of the blood in us. Before, we were just, you know, no color. But we were made from dust. So let me stretch this, would you, and use this as a spiritual truth in this teaching. Blessed or happy are those that have their strength under control, for they shall have dominion over their flesh. Come on, somebody. Happy are those that have their strength under control, because they shall have dominion over their flesh. Let me get this. What happens is this: when you learn, you read throughout the New Testament, Paul talks about warring against flesh. He talks in Galatians, war against the fleshly appetites, the lust of the flesh. Happy are the people that do that. And I don't think we'll inherit. I do think we'll inherit heaven and get all the land, literally physically. But at the same time, there's a truth there that those that are controlled by the Holy Spirit, those that have their strength under control, are those that have dominion over their bodies and over their flesh. Now, ending up, let's look at Psalms 37. Go here real quick. Go ahead to Psalms 37. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Let me give you this. The number one thing that meekness will produce in your life is if you've been trying to live a life of peace, This is the root, one of the major roots that you'll ever have to get peace in your life, is began to develop by the power of the Holy Spirit, began to develop meekness in your life and a produce of meekness. What meekness produces, what it brings, is peace in your life. Notice what it says. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret. Everybody say, fret not. Yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger. Everybody say, cease from anger. And forsake wrath. Fret not yourselves in any wise to do evil. You know, the Bible says, don't fret. Look at verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait on the Lord shall inherit. Everybody say, they shall what? They shall inherit the earth. Look at verse 10. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yes, you shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. And verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth, shall delight themselves in the abundance of what? One of the produces of meekness is you have an abundance. Everybody say abundance. You know what the word abundance means? More than enough. When's the last time you prayed, oh, dear God, don't give me no more peace. I got too much right now. Lord, take some of this peace back. I got so much peace going on in my life. Come on, somebody. It says, the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace, because meekness produces peace. You know why? Because you understand God is in control. You understand you can be like Joseph and they coming before you, which the normal man would get revenge, but you don't, because you saw God's hand in it all along. And you have an abundance of peace, and you're sitting there, and meekness produces peace. It's because the Holy Spirit is in control. And you cease from anger, Psalms 37 says. No more outburst of anger. Can I get a better amen in this place today? You know, do you know why we have outbursts of angers? Because we forget God is in control, and we're upset with so-and-so and so-and-so. And we forget God. I'll never forget one day I drove over to Brother Eccles. I said, Brother Eccles, he's out in the back. His wife said, he's out in the back. Hazel says, he's out in the back. I said, Brother Eccles, what you doing? He said, well, I'm rebuilding this carburetor for the fifth time today. And he was just as peaceful as could be. I'd have burnt that thing. It'd have been a burnt offering unto the Lord after about number three. And you know what he told me? He said, you know, the Lord knows my time. Come on, somebody. He did say there was a demon-possessed bee after me out here all day long. He said, but he just had the most peace you could develop. You know why? Because he understood that God was in control. And he'd build that. He said, I'll build it. I'll keep building this carburetor until it works. And you know what? Meekness says, no more knockdown, drag out fights. Has nothing to do with weakness. Meekness is strength. Everybody say strength. Meekness is strength, but under control. No more name calling. No more your mama was just like you and your daddy did such. Meekness is able to sit there and calmly when you're being attacked. Strength. I'll never forget one time we were in a health club, All American Health Club over here on Mammoth Avenue, and we were doing a Bible study, and we were going to do a baptism in the whirlpool after the Bible study. And we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, this guy that was in, wake him up, he's snoring. Wait, come on. And so what happened was, I'm just kidding. You know what happened is this? This guy gets up, and he imitates Muhammad Ali. And he has this verse that he just said and began to speak. And so he sat back down, and we all, you know, kind of phased a little bit. But then I remember he was new. He wasn't a Christian. And I remember he was trying to turn to the scriptures. And every time he'd get to where the next scripture was, we'd be turning to another scripture. I remember he took his Bible and threw it down and cursed in the middle of this Bible study. And one of the elders back then was doing it, Mike. And I remember, I'm thinking, and Mike had played 4 years at LSU. He'd been a linebacker, starting linebacker for Charlie Mack for 4 years. He was, he was not a weakling. And we're in a health club. I think, oh, no, we're about to have a knockdown, drag out. I never forget, Mike just says, "Brother, you're having a hard time. Somebody help that brother right there." Just as calmly, as peacefully. It's one of those things you never forget. It's just, it was strength. Everybody say strength. Under control. Every relationship has storms. You ever thought about it? It's called a relationship. Because ships go through what? Ships go through storms. Not us, Pastor. Our marriage was made in heaven. So was lightning and thunder. Come on, somebody. Do you know why you're going to have storms when you're in relationships? Because the other people are not perfect. Floods and droughts and thunders. But you know what you can do? When you are meek, strength under control, you can be in a storm and you can be in the bow of the boat sound asleep. You know why? Because you know God has everything in control. And you're not reacting to the storm. And you're not threatening. And you're not one that's out of control. You are strength under control. 2 Corinthians, a few more scriptures we're going to end today. It says this, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the what?" Paul said this, "I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in the presence of base among you." Look, go to the next scripture now. Go to the next one. "Tell you the daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes to you." How's he coming? Meek. Let me tell you, the devil doesn't want you to hear this. There's a lot of stuff going on. The devil doesn't want you to hear this today because it is a change that God wants to put in many of your lives. He's not asking you to be weak. He's asking you to let the Holy Spirit come and dominate you, that meekness becomes a part of your life. And when meekness becomes a part of your life, then you become strength under control. And when you've got strength under control, no matter what the circumstance, the produce of that is an abundance of peace. Let me tell you what the Lord told me today. Some of you in your families, you have fought this weekend, knocked down, dragged out of control fights. You've said things, you've accused things, you've reacted. Can I tell you that it takes two to tango, and a soft answer still turns away wrath? And there's times when, you know what, you're sitting there one day, and let's just say you've done something stupid, and she is so mad at you that steam is coming out of her nose. She reminds you of one of those cartoon bulls that just shh, shh, shh. And you know what you could do? You could run up here and say, "I am as dumb and stupid as can be. You're so pretty. Mwah." Do you know what happens? Yeah. All right, let's stand. I'm going off here. Let's stand up. Everybody stand up, would you? Everybody say amen today. Would you say amen? Give the Lord a good clap offering. Would you do that? Father, let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you today. We want to be meek. We want to be like you. We want to be meek and lowly. We want to come to you and learn of you, and we can have rest. Everybody say rest. We stop the fighting, the arguing, the clubbing, the accusing, the accusations. Lord, I pray for the bosses in here today. Lord, make them meek. Lord, give us meekness in all that we do, strength under control. And I just ask for the dads and the moms that they would have authority, but they would do it, Lord, as you, gentle and meekness, and they would not provoke their children or discourage them, but Lord, it'd be strength under control. I ask a blessing in the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. Give the Lord a good clap offering today. Would you come on one more time? God bless you. Hug somebody. We'll see you Wednesday night.